Hope you're having a great start to the work week. And like we always say, the best things about Monday, you get to talk to a Mike Grimm, the voice of Golden Gopher Sports and, of course, sports director at the Minnesota News Network. Mike, how was the weekend? And a good afternoon to you.
Yeah, thank you. Good afternoon to you, too. Yeah, weekend was fine. You know, weekend was fine. It wasn't great sports-wise, I guess. Vikings took one on the chin yesterday and Gopher basketball lost last night. But, you know, it's the sun came out this morning.
Absolutely. Now, let's start with the game that you heard last night with Mike from Williams Arena. Number 23, of Mississippi State, beats the Gophers 69-51. Gophers fall to 4-6 on the season. And I was thinking about this morning. This Gophers team is off to a slow start. And if I remember correctly, we were off to a blazing start in non-conference play last year, then kind of stubbed our toe in the Big Ten. When you look at this team now through 10 games, Mike, as a Gopher fan, and, you know, we're all behind the Gopher men's basketball team and second-year head coach Ben Johnson, what have been some of the main struggles? Is this team going to be able to turn it around once they get into the depths of Big Ten play, or just talent-wise, just kind of the team that Ben Johnson has this year?
Yeah, you know, they're going to struggle, I think. They have had some, you know, obviously they're young. They're one of the younger teams in the country. And I know fans don't like to hear that, particularly once you hit year two. But, you know, it was an interesting, you know, last year Ben Johnson had a veteran team, a bunch of new guys, but they were all old. They were all 23, 24 years old. And this year that's not the case. It really is almost like this is the first year because he's got a young group that he's trying to build. And really I think what's happening is they first of all, they're not shooting the basketball very well. And you just got to, in today's game, you got to shoot. And I think they have shooters, so hopefully that part is something they can turn around as they, you know, start to find better shots and turn the ball over a little less, and then, you know, the ball starts falling through. So the way they can get better, I think, is that defensively they can get better too, but they've been okay there at times. Their big issue to me is because they're young and inexperienced, they go through, you know, about once or twice a game, they have a 3-minute or 4-minute stretch where things go haywire a little bit and they kind of sabotage themselves. And, you know, at Virginia Tech, for example, they were ahead by one. I want to say it was 22-21, something like that. And then Virginia Tech went on an 11-0 or a 13-0 run, and Minnesota ends up losing by 10. So, you know, that one little 3-minute stretch. Last night, Minnesota was ahead 22-20. Make that 24-22. And with 3 minutes left to go in the half, and Mississippi State scored the final 10 points of the half to go up 8, and then they scored 10 of the first 12 to go up whatever it was, 18, when they started the second half. So it's just these kind of same at Michigan. You know, Michigan, the run came a little earlier, so they were out of the game early. So I think that's an issue. And unfortunately, I think some of these young guys are just going to have to take their lumps and learn what it takes and eventually stave off mistakes and stave off silly turnovers, just bad passes, lazy passes, those kind of things where in high school that stuff might have worked. And when you're playing top-level teams, and this has been a tough stretch of basketball, UNLV, Virginia Tech, Purdue, Michigan, and Mississippi State, you know, that's 3 out of 5 that are ranked, and the other two are pretty good as well, Virginia Tech and UNLV. So it was a wicked stretch here.
Number 23, Mississippi State again wins by 18 last night over the Gophers. And Mike, for anyone, you know, that's listening and they're going, what's going on with the Gopher men's basketball team? Refresh my memory, because when Ben Johnson took over last year, again, as a first-year head coach, the cupboard was pretty much bare when it comes to guys that were returning, right? I mean, he had to bring in a bunch of guys to fill spots in year number one. And when you have to do that, you have to have patience. It's going to take time to, you know, you have to go through 4 or 5 recruiting classes to build up Ben Johnson's team, because when he took over, we didn't have many players coming back. Is that correct?
Yeah, a combo of things. There were several players on that team that had eligibility, but most of them, because of the coaching change, chose to transfer on. I think 7 guys, and some of those guys are doing well elsewhere. Gabe Kalshers at Iowa State, Liam Robbins is at Vanderbilt. Jamal Mashburn's at New Mexico with Richard Pitino, and they're off to, I think they're undefeated. I think they're 8-0 or something like that down there. So there were guys with eligibility that were on the team, but between either, I think, the new coaching staff saying, look, we want to head in a new direction, and players saying, look, we want to play for somewhere else. As it turned out, yes, it eventually ended up being that they basically had to construct a whole new roster. And that's where Ben Johnson decided, look, I just got to get the footing. I got to get, you know, some, you know, the culture established. And so he went and got some of these older transfer players last year. And so he, in essence, had to rebuild again. I mean, even last night against Mississippi State, that was the back end of a home-and-home. The Gophers won at Mississippi State last year. But I looked at the box score, and Jamison Battle is the only guy that scored in that game for Minnesota that returned. You know, you're thinking of Eric Curry. You're thinking of Peyton Willis, Charlie Daniels, E.J. Stevens, Luke Lowy, all those guys on that team last year. They were all old. They were all either transfers or in their final year. And so, yeah, it's kind of a rebuild in year two as well. And so that's a little bit of a unique path, I think, and that's what Gopher fans are having to live through right now.
Gophers 4-6. They're going to host Arkansas Pine Bluff coming up on Wednesday night, 7 o'clock start. And, of course, we'll have all the action right here on KATE. Mike Grimm, the voice of Golden Gopher Sports. And, Mike, I want to talk some of college football. Over the weekend, Caleb Williams at USC wins the Heisman Trophy. Great numbers. He was a favorite. This Caleb Williams, and, you know, some of the backstory on him is when they lost to Utah, and maybe he had done this in other games, my 14-year-old son has kept me up to date on the Caleb Williams story. He put on his fingernails, and it's the worst four-letter word on one hand, and then Utah on his fingernails on the other side. So he's got some bad publicity in the media, which I think he should. My first question, what do you know about Caleb Williams on the field? And second of all, should he have got fined or suspended or something for some of the antics he's done?
Yeah, good question on the second part. I don't know what jurisdiction the conference would have. I suppose they could do that. That would probably be a Pac-12 thing. It came in the Pac-12 championship game. And I don't know a lot about Caleb Williams. I know he's a good football player. Remember, he played at Oklahoma for Lincoln Riley last year, beat out, remember, the Heisman favorite was Spencer Rattler to start last year, if you remember. At least he was one of the favorites. I'm not talking this past year, but back in 2021. And he was off to kind of a shaky start, and Caleb Williams was a true freshman on that Oklahoma team, came in and rattled through the schedule, no pun intended. Rattler was benched, transferred to South Carolina. He ended up having a pretty good year this year for South Carolina. There's rumors that he may be transferring as well, as this NIL stuff is just getting out of hand a little bit in terms of free agency all over and money flying everywhere and offers coming in before you even enter the portal. But anyway, that's a whole other story. But so he was great at Oklahoma. Lincoln Riley left Oklahoma to go to USC. And they were able to pool a bunch of money to get him a name, image, and likeness deal. And he had a great year at USC in a conference that isn't particularly known for great defense. I thought Michael Penix, the Washington quarterback, had a great case for the Heisman as well. He led the country in passing yards. So those Pac-12 defenses don't play a lot of defense, although Utah did that night, and they beat Caleb Williams. So he's the guy that ended up winning the Heisman Trophy.
Yeah, to me, what he did with his fingernails and having the expletive, NFL, Major League Baseball, you know, NBA, I mean, someone's getting fined. Someone's getting suspended or something like that. So
you're right. You're right. I hadn't thought of that, but you're right. I agree that the Pac-12 should, and maybe they did, I don't know, they should issue some sort of a statement that would suggest that is unacceptable and should not be handled that way.
Mike Grimm, sports director, Minnesota News Network, voice of Golden Gopher Sports on a Mike Grimm Monday. And Mike, before you had to head to the barn last night, did you get a chance to watch the Vikings game in Detroit?
I did. I watched it at the barn in the media room. I got over there early to get some work done, and watched most of the game while preparing for the Gopher game. So I can't say that I was breaking down every play while I was watching it, but I did watch it. And, yeah, that was quite a game. Cousins and Justin Jefferson put up historic kind of numbers, and they could not get a stop in the second half. And, boom, next thing you know, you're 10-3. I thought Detroit would win this game. I had them pegged to win it.
Me too.
So
yep.
I'm not that surprised. Detroit has been playing better. We know the Vikings have been living dangerously a little bit. I don't think this is any reason to panic. They were not a favorite. I was surprised how many people were stunned that the Vikings weren't a favorite. I know it was something like the first time since whenever, a million years or something, that a team that was 10-2 went on the road to play a team that was 5-7 or worse and not a favorite. But I thought this was a game Detroit was going to win, and they did. So I don't think there's anything to panic about. I don't feel any worse about this Vikings team today than I did Saturday. Now, the defense obviously didn't play great, and I think philosophically they may have to figure out a few things. There's no doubt about that. But lucky that yesterday was a chance to learn a little bit, find out, you know, what some more of your weaknesses might be. And look, Harrison Smith not playing is a factor. You know, it just is. I don't think they probably get burned on those two deep touchdowns if Smith is there. Maybe they do. It's not like Harrison Smith hasn't gotten beat before, but amongst communication and just veteran level and all that stuff, it probably changed things a little bit. So I'm not in any panic mode. I don't think it changes a whole lot, quite honestly.
Now, Mike, for those fans, and there's a lot of them that have been, well, the Vikes are 10-2, the luckiest team in the NFL. Yesterday showed that you need breaks. And when you don't get those breaks, or if you make more mistakes than the other team, that's how you lose football games. The Vikings have been getting the breaks. The other team's been making mistakes, and that's why they were 10-2. Yesterday's game, you know, you look at a few plays. You talked about the couple of deep throws that we haven't seen the Vikings get beat that bad as they did a couple times yesterday. The Delvin Cook looked like he was going to do a jump pass to the tight end, and he fumbled the football. No one's complaining about that play if Delvin Cook doesn't fumble the ball. He throws a touchdown pass. We score. Everything's great. We go for it on 4th-and-1. We get the first down. Everything's great. Another play, T.J. Hockenson drops the ball that would have been a first down. Those are the plays that the Vikings had been executing on and making things happen in their 10 wins. Yesterday, it didn't happen. And this is, and you said it, you have said it week for week. This is the way the NFL works. Every team's got a chance to win every single week. And sometimes you get the breaks. Sometimes you make the plays. The Vikings win this game if things go different on three or four plays yesterday, but that is life in the NFL. I'm just saying, I'm with you 100%. I'm not panicking. This is still a good team, and they have a chance to really get healthy fast and get back in the win column with the Colts coming in on Saturday.
Yeah, I got a couple of Saturday games now back-to-back, which is kind of unique. But, yeah, I agree. And, you know, they're going to win the division. There's no question about that. They need one more win. And Detroit is not going to win out. They're going to lose to somebody yet. And so they'll win the division, and then you're in the tournament, as we always talk about. You got to get in the tournament. And I know a lot has been made of this point differential, right? And the top teams in the NFL have point differentials like plus 100, whatever, and the Vikings, I think, are minus one. And so everyone says they're a fraud. And, look, there might be some, like you said, there is some luck to it. But when you go with some of the formulas, they're not the luckiest team in the league. They're like the 7th or 8th most lucky team in the league. And teams with better records, like Philadelphia, actually, on the luck analytics, have a better luck rate. Yep. So, you know, it's weird. Look, they lost 40-3 to the Cowboys. So there's 37 points there. That's one. It's just a one-off, right? Yep. So if that game is – you know, somewhat closer than the Vikings are in positive territory on that. But when you win a bunch of close games, the possibility is such that you might, you know, you win a bunch of close games and get blown out once. And then they didn't have a great, the other loss was to Philly, where they lost by double digits. So the point differential, while it is a great indicator, it really is. I mean, you look at it in all sports, point differential is a key metric. But there are always outliers, and that's where the Vikings fall in. So I think that clearly there's some stuff defensively that they're going to have to work on. They need to get a better pass rush. You know, Za'Darius Smith has, I forget now, is it 7 sacks or something, but he hasn't had many in the last handful of weeks. And they haven't blitzed very much, and they've played shell defense way too much, in my opinion. In the NFL, you just can't let quarterbacks, with the skill set that the quarterbacks have and the skill set that receivers have, you just can't let them sit back there dunking donuts looking for spot. That's what Jared Goff was able to do much of yesterday, in my opinion. So they have some things to work on. I'm not saying they're perfect, clearly, and they're not the favorite to win the Super Bowl, no doubt about that. Doesn't mean they can't make a run, though. It doesn't mean that, look, they've got tools. They got, you know, one of the best two or three receivers in the game. They have a quarterback who can put the ball on the money. They've got, you know, a running back who's pretty good. And so they've got some tools that would indicate they have a chance to make some noise. And so that's the way you gotta hope it goes.
No bad losses for the Vikings this year so far. You lose to the Cowboys, you lose to the Eagles, and a Detroit team that's won five of their last six. So, and I was on the road. So no bad losses, and we're used to the Vikings having at least a couple of bad losses against teams they should beat. That hasn't happened. Yesterday,
right.
The
yeah.
Cowboys almost got beat by Houston, the worst team in the NFL. Every week is different in the NFL, and that's why we love it, because of the parity. So Viking fans, don't jump off the ship. Everything's going to be all right. Colts on Saturday, a noon start at U.S. Bank Stadium. Mike Grimm, Monday. And, Mike, I got to ask you, who are you taking in the World Cup? We're down to four. We got France and Morocco. We got Argentina and Croatia. Who's Mike Grimm's pick to click in the final four?
Well, that's a good question, and I have nothing against soccer. I have nothing against the World Cup whatsoever, but I did not know who was left until you just mentioned, and I've already forgotten. So I'm gonna guess Croatia. Who's the favorite? France?
You know, I Croatia, and again, my 14-year-old son Isaac, he helps out in the Kate sports department. He keeps me updated on everything. He should be an assistant sports director here. I think Croatia was in the final last year. I think Rudy Gobert's France team is also a favorite. Yeah. Argentina's good. I know Morocco is the underdog, kind of the Cinderella story when it comes to the World Cup. I'll be honest with you, I didn't know who was in the final four until I just read the story to you as well. But
I'll go Croatia. I'm gonna put on the Croatian flag here, and that's gonna become my team, and that's who I'm gonna pull for. And if I happen to be thumbing through the channels and that game is on, I'm going to stop and watch it for a minute. And we'll go from there.
Tomorrow afternoon at 1 o'clock, Mike, if you're in front of a TV, Argentina and Croatia.
Oh, well, you know, we have the Gopher Basketball Weekly with Ben Jackson show from noon to 1 tomorrow at Buffalo Wild Wings on campus. And I promise you there'll be some pre-World Cup things going on the TV. And there will be students there. We were there for the show 2 weeks ago, and there were a bunch of students there waiting for the U.S. against, was it Iran that they played maybe on a Tuesday?
Yeah, that was one of their games.
So, so I'm guessing some soccer fans will be at the show. So that will be on at 1 o'clock, you say, tomorrow. So the show will just be ending, and as I'm packing up my gear, I'll get to watch the first minute or two before I head to my car. So that will be just a nice filling day of soccer right there, that minute or two.
The voice of Golden Gopher Athletics, our good friend Mike Grimm, sports director at the Minnesota News Network, of course, joins us every Monday here on Kate Radio. Mike, thank you so much for the time. We'll hear from you on Wednesday from the barn, our next broadcast of Gopher Men's Basketball, and we'll talk to you next week.
Yeah, always enjoy it, Aaron. Thanks so much. I'm joking about soccer. I love soccer. I don't want all these soccer fans to get mad at me. I'll watch that game just for them tomorrow.
There you go. Go Croatia. We're going with Croatia.
You got it.